Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
I'm going to share with you a short message, and I believe the Lord is going to shift you into a space of faith and victory. And then we'll jump into some water baptisms, and we'll see the very evidence of that shift in so many real stories, real lives that have been transformed by Jesus. Sound good? Well, it's Easter. It's a joyful time. We get to celebrate Jesus. We have water baptisms. We eat hot cross buns a lot. We enjoy an unhealthy amount of Cadbury chocolate. Anyone else with me? But there's something about the Cadbury Easter eggs. It's better than normal Cadbury chocolate. Anybody else? Just like, yes, it's not the same. It's not the same, right? I believe that. But I'm going to have to ask you guys to be sensitive with me today and extra encouraging. Because it was this day, 14 years ago, where I experienced a really traumatic event on Easter Sunday. It was in this church. And my heart's pounding. You know, my friend, right, he got injured the night before our big moving Easter Sunday drama that we were going to do. And so I took his place. A little bit like Jesus, I guess you could say, but, you know, whatever. But what followed next was traumatic. You see, at the climax of the performance, we were to drop down to our knees and remove this black shirt, which symbolized the sin that Jesus had taken away, and revealing this white shirt. You know, we were holy, without blemish, you know, sins are gone. And so in that moment, you know, the music's at its peak, and I drop down, and there's a wardrobe malfunction. All right, we'll get through this. And which led to the moment that I'm about to show you, which was promptly photographed by the team and forever etched in Nations Church history and my heart forever scarred. Why don't you put that photo up? Stay strong, just stay strong. We're going to get through this. That's a big screen. That's a really big screen, guys. So I'm going to need extra encouragement today. I'm going to need maybe a couple of extra Cadbury Easter eggs too, just to get through today. It was quite the public spectacle. And but nevertheless, it's not about me today. It's about Jesus. And a massive welcome to everyone here today, especially anyone here that's visiting today. I pray that this would feel like home. And that you would experience the life-changing reality of Jesus Christ today. But a big hello of those of you that are joining online. I'm sure that includes our senior pastors who get back from long service leave this coming week. Look, I didn't burn the church down. They're all still here. Everybody wave at like a camera. Look happy. Look happy. We got this. We're good. Let's pray, hey. Good transition. Father God, we thank you that you're here today. And we just thank you for this time. We pray that you would minister to us. Lord, whether it's our first Easter in your house or it's our 100th, Father God, we pray that you would speak to us and minister today. Take us into freedom and victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's jump straight in. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. This is where Paul is writing to the Christians in Colossus. And he's helping them to understand a foundational and life-changing a truth that applies to us today. So here we go. It says, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised. Oh. But not by a physical procedure. Praise God. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were now raised to new life. Someone say, raised to new life. Because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins. We were dead because of our sins. Before we received new life in Christ, we were dead. You see, a sick person may need a doctor, but a dead person needs a savior. Yeah. Let's keep going. It says, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ. Someone say, alive with Christ. Alive with Christ. For he forgave all our sins. Praise God. He cancelled the record of the charges against us. Every single ungodly, unholy, sinful thing we've ever done that's offensive to the holiness of God, that's held us legally indebted, has been cancelled. Right? You want to talk about cancel culture? Jesus has cancelled the entire record of your sins. Praise God, right? He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Can we praise God for this passage of Scripture? That's incredible. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus has forgiven our sins. He's reconciled us back to God. And that's why we called it Good Friday, that Jesus' death on the cross paid for our sins, and it puts us in right standing before God, meaning there's nothing to separate us from our God. Our ticket to heaven is secured in Jesus' name. But I want to submit to you that that's not the entirety of the gospel. You know, I grew up understanding that Easter was about Jesus dying on the cross to pay for my sins. And that is 100% correct, but there's more. There is more. Because if that's all you believe or understand of what Jesus has done for you, it's going to be like you're stuck in Saturday. And that's going to limit you from stepping fully in to all that God has done for you. What do I mean by stuck in Saturday? Well, stick with me. Because by the end of this message, I believe we'll all be saying, "See ya, Saturday." All right? And that's the title of my message, "See ya, Saturday." Someone say, "See ya, Saturday." See ya, Saturday. Beautiful. You see, Jesus' death on the cross paid the price for all of our sins. Every single one paid for, cancelled, cleared from your record, right? Imagine wearing around your neck like a list of all of your sins. Like, Ebs, what sins have you? No, I'm just kidding. Like, of all your sins, right? And then he crosses it out. He cancels every single one, the big cross. And then he takes it off and he nails it to the cross, right? Your sins are gone. They're paid for. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't deal with the pain that I feel from other people's sins. That doesn't deal with the fear or the anxiety that you may carry. That doesn't deal with that disease in your body or the depression or that insecurity or that lack that you might carry or feel. You see, God, you can pay for my sins, but how do I stop sinning? Or how do I not get beat down by the things that life throws at me? And so if your understanding only goes as far as sins being forgiven, well, that's great for when we die, but that doesn't help me to do life any different right now. Am I just supposed to drag myself through all the, you know, hardships and challenges of life until I get to heaven and then everything's all right and well? Like, is that the best life that this loving God has for me? You know, or we just try to really work hard and be holy and not carry brokenness or these bad habits that hurt others and ourselves, and then maybe we'll be happy? No, that's what being stuck in Saturday looks like. Because Jesus died on Friday for the forgiveness of our sins, but 3 days later, he rose again, and his resurrection unlocks a whole new world to us, one of victory and freedom. Praise the Lord. And that's where God wants to lead us into a greater truth today. Jesus being the perfect sacrifice for our sins by dying on the cross would have been really noble. That would have been really wonderful. That would have been great. It would change our status before God, like we're no longer a sinner, but we're washed clean. However, that alone doesn't transform me. That doesn't set me free from my ungodly habits, that toxic thinking, or those deep hurts. But Colossians 2 that we read, it says, when we say yes to Jesus, our sins are forgiven, and that we are raised to life with Christ. Right? Not just sins forgiven, but raised to life, up out of our sinful nature and into a new creation. And we get to do it with Jesus, the one who conquered death and darkness. He doesn't just give us forgiveness of sins. He doesn't just make us righteous. But he says, I'm here with you and I'm going to bring you into new life. Praise the Lord. My Bible says when I said yes to Jesus that the old is gone and the new has come. But here's where it gets really exciting. We're going to check out the next verse in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. It says, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Another version says, having disarmed the principalities and powers. So as you are raised with Christ, you step in to the reality that every weapon that the enemy, that Satan, wants to throw at you has been disarmed. It's been disarmed. Let me teach this out. Can you bring out my friends? Thank you, Rihanna. Yeah, I'll grab it. I got it. All right, I got a license for this thing. Oh, we're stuck on the door. All right. Okay, these are my friends. No, these are not my friends. These are principalities and powers, all right? Right here. They've clearly already been disarmed and disheaded. I couldn't find full-length mannequins. And I thought it would have got weird, you know? But look at these guys. They have literally been disarmed, right? What are they going to do to me, right? They're just sitting in my little cart, right? These guys want to attack me, but with what? Okay? Now, let me just, what are we talking about here? You might say this as fear. Could be fear of the future, fear of failure, fear of letting people down, those deep-rooted fears. It could be depression, anxiety. It could be lack. It could be sickness. Or heartache, you can appropriate to these guys whatever you may feel has been at work in your life. That could be lust, it could be rage, it could be idolatry, it could be distractions from God, it could be sleeplessness, it could be a hardness of your heart. These are different weapons or powers that the enemy of God, Satan, loves to throw at us. As John 10:10 tells us that he loves to steal, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? But my Jesus has come that we would have life and life to the full. Amen? So look at these guys, right? They want to attack you now, but how? With what? Come at me. Nothing. Thank you. Good props too, I think. If you have chosen Jesus, these powers are now literally disarmed through his death and resurrection. All right, I need you to look at these and not see some mannequins, but see your fear or see that lack or see that thing that's been driving issues and division in your marriage. It's been disarmed. Yes. You got to understand that you don't have to be a slave to it anymore. Heartache, lack, Jesus has cut them off and come to bring you life and life to the full. Get out of Saturday and we got to jump into the freedom that Christ has won for us. Amen. You know, this passage goes on to say that he makes a public spectacle of them, right? Just like I was made a public spectacle of back in Easter 2010. You see, back in the days where this was written, right, when the Romans would conquer another nation, they would parade their captives through the conquered territories, right? It would be this public demonstration of like, you're beat, you've been defeated, look at us, we got the victory, right? That's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. You see, because perhaps Satan for a moment thought that he had won, right? When he saw Jesus hanging on the cross, but hell's imagined victory was turned into a defeat that disarmed every spiritual enemy who fights against those living under the light and power of the cross. The public spectacle of defeated demonic powers makes their defeat all the more humiliating. Everyone saw Jesus on the cross, but it was their defeat, not his. That was the public spectacle. We don't have to be hopeful that God will help us or maybe things could change or get better. No, we need to stand on the reality of the word of God. What the enemy has sent to steal, kill, and destroy, right, has been disarmed. All right, come on. You need to place whatever power or darkness, whatever attack of the enemy has been working in your life, insecurity, impurity, addiction, whatever it may be, and see it being completely defeated and disarmed and shamed by the power of the cross. Get out of Saturday and step into what Jesus has paid for you. He's alive. He's done this for you. See you Saturday. It's not just the forgiveness of sins and then we continue on defeated. That's what it was, that in between. Great, it's paid for. Now what? But no, Jesus rose from the dead and he says, I'm making you alive with me. He's taken us from glory to glory, amen. My Bible says that we are now more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, right? That greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, right? That the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you and me. Disarmed and defeated, not you, the enemy. Now, I like to ask sometimes the more cynical question. And so if you're thinking, but if Jesus paid for this, then why am I still struggling with this fear or this issue? You see, these principalities only have power towards us if we give it to them by believing their lies and disregarding the truth, right? And we need to come out of agreement with these lies and these struggles. We need to decide each day that we are going to walk in faith in the reality of who Jesus is and what he's paid for us. The weapons are in our hands, not theirs. They don't have any hands, see? They're disarmed, literally. We will one day in eternity see how afraid they were of us. That is what Easter Sunday is all about. Jesus not only died to forgive our sins, but 3 days later, he conquered death. And as Philippians chapter 2 says, he was exalted. He was lifted to the highest place to be the name above all names, all powers, right? That at the mention of his name, every knee shall bow. That which is in heaven, that which is on earth, and that which is under the earth shall submit to his name. The public spectacle is our complete freedom. It empowers us to live a life of wholeness and transformation. See you Saturday. We aren't a victim of our struggles and our brokenness. Worship team, you come join me. We aren't left to just grovel through our junk until we reach eternity and then everything gets wonderful. Absolutely, everything is going to be perfectly wonderful. But God's like, let me transform you along the way. Let me set you free. Let me lead you into victory. Let me help you understand. Look at what I purchased for you. We're empowered by Jesus to be more than conquerors. Yeah. To step into his promise of life and life to the full. Yeah. And so we're going to move on to water baptisms in just a moment. But I know this message is speaking to so many of you right now. And I want to pray for you. And I believe the Holy Spirit's going to minister here in this moment. But it doesn't end there. Maybe I feel like some of you here, maybe you don't normally come to church. But I sense that the Holy Spirit is prompting you that you need to start coming. You need to make it a commitment so you can step greater into this truth, into this life that Jesus has purchased for you. Others, you're going to need to go away and you're going to start need to sitting on this scripture, Colossians 2 and some of these other ones I've mentioned, to really sit with the scripture, and the Lord's going to lead you through taking back the power and authority that you've given to maybe your fears or those struggles. Others, you're going to worship him afar, deeper way as you've been reminded of all that he set you free from and all the transformative work he's been doing and continues to do. Amen? Come on, let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're here. And I thank you that you didn't just die for our sins, but you paid for victory and freedom for us. That you hanging on the cross wasn't your public defeat, it was theirs. Every power, every darkness, everything that's come to try and steal, kill, and destroy against us, Lord, we right now submit it under that truth that Jesus, you have disarmed every power and authority. You have nailed it to the cross. And so Jesus, across this place, I pray that you will begin to release freedom. God, where people have felt scared or been gripped by fear of the future or not having enough or that I'm going to be left or abandoned or there's this addiction or this sinful, this habit I can't get out of my head. Whatever it is, God, we pin that to the cross right now in Jesus' name. We pray that you would lead us into freedom. We pray that we would say, see you Saturday. I'm not just having forgiveness of sins, but I'm having the full package. I'm having freedom and victory and transforming. I'm letting the Lord, would you right now begin to lead people, show them what it looks like to take them from glory to glory. And I thank you that even right now in this moment, things are breaking off because that is what you paid for. That is your authority. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.